Hey, Robert.
Hey. This is Brian?
Yep, it is.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm very good.
Good.
Got a good day of work. How about you?
Yeah, the day was typical Monday. So I look forward to walking off some of that. I wouldn't call it negative energy, just nonsense.
I didn't quite follow that, Robert. You're saying, what did you say about negative energy? And
I said, I look forward to walking off. And I said, I wouldn't call it negative energy. I would just call it nonsense.
Mm-hmm. I got you now. Yeah, that's, and I hear you about walking off that energy. Nonsense energy. You know.
Hey, Brian.
Who's that?
John.
John, welcome. Robert is on the line.
Thanks.
So we've been
okay. Having
a conversation. Robert, I have a question for you.
Sure.
I want to use some of the time together. In periods of silence, you might say kind of strategically placed during the hour, you know, that we're together, to do exactly what you're talking about. Give us a little bit of space and time to kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, but, you know, leave what you've been doing behind. And just kind of refocus or what, I'm not sure. Does that make sense to you?
It does. Do you want me to vocalize it while I'm walking or just in my mind?
Yeah, in your mind. So there'd be silence. On.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, silence. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
You like that, huh?
Oh, yeah. I like silence.
And John, how do you like, you must like silence. John moved to Javi. I mean.
Oh, yeah, right. That's all the way at the other end of the world.
You got it.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet.
Tell us about it.
I've only been to Javi once.
Yeah. That's a lot more than a lot of other people have come.
Yeah.
Well, I can say that I've been there a number of times to John's place.
But then I've also only been to Hana once too, but I don't know that I'll ever go back to Hana unless it's on an airplane.
Yeah, I heard that. I've never been there, but I heard that ride is kind of dramatic as far as turns and stuff.
Yeah. The ride out to Javi is much pleasanter.
Yeah, it's a little straighter anyway.
Yeah,
you can keep a good pace. And the two ways that I know best are coming over the hill from Kamuela side, which is forested largely with beautiful trees. And it's such a pleasant drive. The other way is coming from Kona, and it's wide open and with ocean scenes, and you know, it's a completely different experience. But yeah, Javi is way out there.
Yeah, Brian, that's Kohala Mountain Road from Waimea. There are quite a few people who think that's one of the nicer drives in the island. It's all pasture and cows and big ironwoods and eucalyptus, and not a whole lot of traffic.
It's pretty reasonable, huh?
Lord, yeah. When we first moved here, the speed limit on that road was 55. And as the years went by, they lowered it. So like now it's like 35 and 40 miles an hour. I guess just the increased traffic. But the cowboys pulling their trailers, they're still going 55 on that road, and the tourists who follow the speed limit are going, you know, 35. And a lot of times the cowboys just tailgate them till they pull over, because they don't have a lot of police on that road. So it's kind of like some people really speed.
They really speed, you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially the cowboys, because that's all it is up on that road, is basically ranches.
Yep.
So there's quite a bit of speeding. Luckily, not too many accidents, but there's quite a bit of speeding.
John used to be
a nice. Yes.
He was in an ambulance for years, living in Javi, working as far away as what, Kamuela, was it?
Yeah, Kona sometimes. Yeah, I think working for the city ambulance on Oahu, basically you're on the road pretty much your whole shift. And after a few years, the traffic just got to me. It's like you're constantly driving in traffic. I think that was one of the main reasons. It's just the congestion and the traffic. Yeah, finally just got to me.
You know, John, I think we're going to continue this conversation about Javi a little bit later.
Yep, that's fine.
I want to welcome Norm Chan, just joined us. And
yep, here.
Who else have we got?
Hi, Norm.
Hi, guys.
Norm is was kind of a collaborator with me a few years ago on a program for his soldiers. He was a colonel in the National Guard, and we worked on a project together to kind of teach his soldiers a little bit about running. And I thought that, his support was truly amazing to me, you know, because I'd worked with other military outfits and I never got support like I got from Norm. And so anyway, I'm saying this kind of to introduce you, Norm. This is the first time that we've been together on a workout, where I think John has been, this is his second, you know, and I think Robert has been on several calls and also I should say workouts, and Kathy is also on the line, and I think she's been on every one so far, if I'm not mistaken. And so anyway, we have a nice little group forming. I'm very happy about the participation. There are a couple of other people that are coming on probably, or will be on. So welcome everyone. I have a bunch of things that I want to talk about, and in order to get you going, and you know, so we'll start the workout within the next couple of minutes. But I want to kind of set some context so that you understand what I expect of you, because I'm not there to give you, you know, visual feedback or my visual feedback of what you're doing or how you're doing it. So that's what I want to try to get across to you now before you start.
Great.
All of the workouts that I do for people, and this is also at all levels, from rank beginner to master racers, they all do the same several segments to every workout. And those are a very slow 10-minute warm-up to start, very slow. And I'll talk about that in a second. Then there's a 5 to 8 minute period of limbering up stretching exercises. Nothing special, but you'll find that I think that it makes your body feel good after a day of, you know, whatever you were doing is probably not being. And so we'll do something like that. And then another 10 minutes at a slow pace before you hit any hills on your course. So the hills come after at least a 20-minute warm-up. And then from then on, you're working at a slow pace or at a pace that I'll teach you about how to do with hills. Otherwise, it'll be slow. And what we're attempting to do is be very consistent, each workout, the same approach. And it becomes habitual, and as you'll see, it becomes very enjoyable. And so you can begin now at a very slow pace. Whatever that is for you, I'm going to describe it. It's going to be mild, not light, which is slow. Really holding yourself back to something that's very slow. Whether you're walking or jogging or running, you might say it's your slowest walking, jogging, or running pace. And when you put it in context with just jogging up and down or stepping up and down in one place, not moving forward at all, it's not too much faster than that. Very slow. And the reason we go very slow is that your body needs some time to adjust to the activity, plain and simple, without getting injured. And so we start off at a mild, very slow pace for the first 10 minutes. And then after that, we get into a slow pace, and I'll talk about it in a few minutes. I'm going to leave you with another contextual idea here. Whenever you start a workout in my system, so to speak, I want you to leave your anxieties about running or fitness or anything at the doorstep. And what I mean by that is that if you're anxious about what might happen out there, start to relax, be tightened up a bit. But more than that, you're bringing a negative kind of thought with you about something that might happen. And there's no room for that, because nothing that we're going to do or have you do is going to be painful or disagreeable or uncomfortable. It's all going to be, you know, just comfortable, relaxed, pain free. And so also it's going to be enjoyable, and also it's going to be fun, but most of all it's going to be sustainable. Whatever we do, I want it to be sustainable. In other words, you got to think in terms of the rest of the year, next year, after that, you know. You're going to be doing this for a while, and you might be doing it on your own eventually, because you really dig it. It just makes you feel. Robert and I had a talk earlier. He's coming from work nonsense, craziness situation. And a lot of it, I'm sure. And we talked about the possibility of using time during every workout where there's nothing going on except silence. So you have a time on your own to reflect on things that I've said or things that are going on in your mind, or just like homing out and not thinking about anything. But I'd like to follow through with that idea that Robert and I had earlier. And we can talk about this. I mean, it's not a have to, but I think it might be good. I've used it in other workouts that I do with my racers, for instance, and the intermediate athletes and so on. And there's no reason why we shouldn't do it either, because I know you guys are coming from situations that may need a little bit of, let's say, processing. So I have a timer here. Let's set this for how about we set it for 2 minutes? We'll keep it real simple. So 2 minutes of silence, and then I'll come back and we'll see what time it is. Maybe we can start a stretching activity.
Okay.
Is my beeper going off? In maybe 2 minutes or so, I'm going to initiate a stretching, limbering up routine, but I want to set a little bit of context first. What you're looking for is a place where you can stretch sort of privately if possible. And ideally, you want to have a railing that's about chest high or maybe a little lower. And you're using the railing for balance sometimes. And it just makes it a lot easier to do some of the things that we're going to do, not all of them. But if you can find a railing somewhere, that'd be cool. The stretching that I do is what we call, or what I call, motion stretching. So there's always some kind of a motion involved. You know, it's not static stretching where, you know, you're in a position and hold it for a long time, although there is room for that, and I'll tell you where. But this is mostly fairly active motion kinds of activity to limber up the body. And it's, I try to make it as full as I can, you know, full body in a very short period of time. And we're going to do a bunch of stretches now, and I'm not going to do the whole thing. I'm going to, when we get together on the weekends, I'll have more time to watch what you're doing. You have time to watch me doing what I'm doing. In the meantime, when I lead the stretch, I'll say arm swinging, for instance, and then I'll tell you kind of what I'm doing so that you can mimic it, you know, from what I'm telling you. a lot of it's intuitive. I think the most important thing to keep in mind is that this is non-injurious. It's done at a relaxed level. Relaxed level. No pressing. No forcing. No straining. Just relaxed, which is about a 3 on a 6 level scale. Relaxed is not holding yourself back. You know, relaxed is, you can feel what you're doing. Okay, so let's begin with arm swinging. So arm swinging is back and forth in front of you, crossing over, it can be up. Your arms can be parallel to the ground, or they can be just a few, you know, degrees above in front of you. That's arm swinging. And then up and down, you throw your arms up as far as they go, high as they go, and then let them drop and fall behind you. Up and down, up and down, up and down, and then relax. Hold your hands in front of you, kind of lace the fingers, and then the activity is behind you, and it's a twisting motion. So you twist your body and your arms to one side, then the other side, swing back and forth, twist your body, feel every joint if you can without hurting yourself. Your hips, your knees, your ankles, your shoulders, twisting gently, and then feet together, arms straight up, feet together, arms straight up, a relaxed level. Don't strain to push your arms up, just relax and hold. Then lean to one side, lean gently, no pain, feel the stretch. Lean to the other side. Drop your arms. Look to one side. Up and down. Look up and down. Over your shoulder. Shift to the other side. Look over your shoulder. Up and down. Look up and down. Shoulder shrugs. Okay, this is like big rotations of your shoulders, back and up and around, down, and go the other way now. Same thing, up and around, shoulder rotations, shoulder shrugs. It's worth a few things on the lower legs now. Achilles stretch is, let me describe it for you. So I'm bending my knees, but I'm keeping my body erect as if I'm standing up straight. So I'm just from a standing up straight position, good military posture. We'll have Norm tell us about this in a minute. Then you bend your knees and feel the stretch on the back of your lower leg. On the back of your lower leg. The Achilles tendon and the inner calf muscle, which I forget what the name of it is, but there's an inner one and an outer one. So we're doing the inner calf muscle. And if you go gently from side to side now, your feet can be about shoulder width apart. And if you bend those knees and go side to side gently, you feel more of a stretch on one leg than the other. Back and forth slowly. And then stand up again, spread out some more. So maybe not quite shoulder width apart, a double shoulder width apart. What you're going to do with trunk twisters is bend over, basically keeping your back straight. And then swing around in a full circle. Around, trunk twisting, and work with or play with a range of comfort. So go all the way around, but feel no pain, no sharp starting as you hit, you know, something that is painful. So whatever, wherever it's painful, you avoid going through that. And then let's stand back up. We're going to continue with the run right now. I hope that made you feel a little bit more limbered up, and we'll add more and talk more about that as we go along. It's 5:49 in the evening. I believe we started about 5:35 roughly. The duration of this workout, by the way, you can go half an hour, 45 minutes, or an hour. So we'll finish about 6:30, 6:35 this evening. Whoever's with us, I mean, still doing anything. You can listen in, of course, you can listen in. There's some things that I have to talk about and a few things that I want to talk about with you. And let me begin with the have to, a couple of have to's. This Saturday, we're going to meet at in Kaimakee, and hopefully you'll want to do a potluck after the workout up at my place, which is right above on the ridge where we're going to be meeting, you know. And it's a very nice venue, both for the potluck and for the workout. And it's one that I'm very familiar with, so I can use it to teach you some things quickly. How to do hills, how to do different things on the road and so on. And so that's why I'm suggesting that. We have a schedule, I should say, I wanna talk a little bit about the schedule. That means what times we meet during the week. And you know, we have a little latitude in terms of start times. We can go, you know, on Monday and Wednesday at whatever time you want. And, you know, if it fits for most people, then we can make it a goal probably. Ideally, we want everybody to agree on the start time, but there are certain restrictions. One is that I'm coaching other people or facilitating other workouts on Tuesday and Thursday evening. So that limits us to Monday and Wednesday. If we're going to have me as a facilitator that doesn't conflict with my stuff. Anyway, I am open to thoughts in that regard, and also thoughts on the Saturday location. Unless I miss my guess, I think there are three or four of us of you that are on the windward side in Kaneohe, I'm pretty sure. And so that weighs heavily in your favor in terms of how we schedule or where we schedule workouts. You know, it could be, I know Robert is in, I think, Mililani, if I remember correctly. And Kathy, I'm not sure where you are, Kathy, but you know, once we see...
Kalihi.
Where did you say?
Kalihi.
Oh, Kalihi, right. So you're kind of central. And we can do things in Kalihi or Salt Lake, that area. So anyway, you hear what I'm saying in terms of locations. Any, let's see, hang on a second. Let me focus this a bit. Okay. I want to open a little discussion now. A couple of things. I want to especially hear who you are in terms of your goals for this program. And you don't have to have thought this through. I just want whatever's on the top of your head. And the other thing is I want a little bit of feedback in terms of the potluck idea. I don't need a lot, but I just want to know, you know, what issues you might have with it. You know, I see it as kind of a group building thing, but if we only have two people show up, that's hardly a group. So one of the things I'm listening for is commitment to coming. And I hope that the combination of the Saturday workout and the potluck will make it worth your while. I wanted to add in one more thing, and that is that we have two people on the Big Island, John and Jenny, and I'm thinking very seriously of building my skill at doing conference call workouts on the weekend. And there's no reason why I can't. And that way people like John, for instance, can listen in to my instructions, the instructions that I give to people while the work we're in the person-to-person, face-to-face workout. And so I'm interested in developing that skill, and this is a good opportunity. Okay. Who would like to start us off?
Hey, Brian, this is John.
Tell me, John.
Workout times are really flexible for me. I'm retired, so I don't have a set schedule to work. So whatever seems to work best for the group, I'm fine.
That's good to know, because there may be some scheduling issues.
Hey.
Yeah, this is Robert.
Hello.
And go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
That's probably Kathy. Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay. I work at some home, so I sort of have a flexible schedule. But I do love mornings, like early mornings, if you can. But I'm flexible either way. So. And then this kind of works a little bit, but it doesn't matter if you folks do it. I'll fit my schedule around whatever you folks choose.
I didn't hear the last comment, Kathy. I heard that you were flexible time-wise, but I didn't catch the last one. Can you repeat that?
Oh, yeah. I said I work around the schedule and make it. So you folks, whatever time restraints you folks have, I can probably work around it.
Yeah, I still didn't get that. I wonder if I turn up my volume, that'll help. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
A little better. Tell me.
Hello?
Yeah, tell me, Kathy.
It doesn't matter for me. I will work my schedule around your schedule.
Great, I hear that.
But I prefer mornings. Prefer mornings if possible.
Right, I heard that too. Got it. How about you, Norm? This is the first time we've talked since a phone conversation last week, I believe. What's going on for you with regard to the training? What are you thinking at this point, and what's up with you? You got to unmute yourself, Norm, and that's you on your phone. It's probably star 6. If you hit star 6, that might do it. So we heard from Kathy and John. How about you, Robert? I mean, you have one of the most demanding schedules. Where are you?
Yes. At this time, I'm pretty flexible. Early mornings on Saturdays is okay. It gives me more time in the afternoon and the later morning to do other things that I'm always doing. So
sure.
my goal is to be able to at least walk the Hapalua. I signed up by default because I had signed up 2 years ago and it got deferred and deferred. This is the last year to accept the deferment. So I'm just walking to, that's what I'm going to be doing. So hopefully I can do 13 miles in the coming month, which I can, I'm sure. I just want to do it wisely, you know. All too often I jump into something really quick at the last minute and then, you know, I suffer the consequences.
John is chuckling. He, I think, puts himself in your position and realizes that it's untenable.
Yeah. I mean, I may or may not do it. I signed up with a deferment, you know, at least I'll walk through and get the t-shirt and the Mala Sada. Whether I do the 13 miles, it remains to be seen, right? You can always cut in somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, here's what I really think is that if you come to all these workouts, you've got what, 3 weeks from this Sunday, is it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that's 3 weeks,
I know, yeah,
of doing easy walking workouts, and it'll get you over a certain hump, the hump of being in shock from doing the workouts. And
right.
it'll I think you could do it. And I think your willingness to cut the course is another aspect of it, you know, without guilt, mind you, because I have two women in my racer training that are going to cut the course. And because, you know, they're overweight and out of shape, but they're interested in the racing game, and they're not really trained up for it yet. And you know, to do the 13.1. And I support them because, you know, they got goals and they're reasonable in terms of achieving them. And didn't you and I talk about doing the 50th Honolulu Marathon later in the year?
Yes. I signed up for that as well. So I'm ahead of the game for that one, but behind the curve on the Hapalua. And I blame it on the Hapalua because, and COVID.
Yeah.
Just as long as you're absolved of your responsibility, right?
I am. Hey, you know, it is what it is. And regarding the potluck, I think I'll bring some banana muffins. I'm going to try and make some banana muffins.
Well, we have an egg omelet dish and banana muffins. That's cool. Thanks. So how are we going to get Norm? Where are you, Norm? Well, you're still muted. And I'm sure you're trying as hard as you can to get on the line here. I wonder if I think I just sent you a message, Norm, that maybe you can respond to.
Hi, Brian. Can you hear me now?
Oh, there you are.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Little technical issues here. About myself, my goal is just to get up and out of my office. I probably have the least flexible schedule. I'm still working 5 to 6 days a week, and Saturdays is probably... I'm a pediatric dentist, so what it does is I work wherever the whenever the kids are out. So Saturday is probably the worst day. I'm trying to work my schedule for Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. I have been walking since last Friday, and that's about it. I mean, I like I said, I will try to keep up with everybody here, but I'm not sure if I can do 100%. Love the idea of being online with you, and that makes a whole lot of sense for me. You know, I can train remotely, just like those that are on the Big Island. Anyway, that's it for me, Brian.
I hear you, and I'm really pleased that you're, you know, that you're with us to that extent. And I totally understand the pediatric dental commitments on Saturday. We'll figure a way to get everybody together. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good.
Well, I mean, I definitely will. I'll try to keep up with everybody, but as best I can, either remotely or even if I do break away and get a live one with you guys, that'd be kind of nice to meet everybody.
Yeah, and I did hear that thing about the remote connection on Saturday is what you're saying, right?
Correct.
That's works correct. Well for you. And I'm glad it does because, you know, that's something that I've kind of been putting off. I need to buy another iPhone and I, you know, a few little odds and ends.
I hear you.
Well, John is, I have to say that John is, has been a really good support person the last week or two in a number of different ways. Like I'm testing this idea out, you know, how to get online on the weekends. And he's obviously has an interest in it. And you do too now, Norm, you know, where you might be able to get a little workout in without having a commitment of, you know, 2 or 3 hours travel time and all.
Yeah, exactly.
What time do we have? 6:05. So what do we have now in terms of... Talk to John for a moment in terms of what you were able to do with your foot, and also how far you've been going, Norm, and how far you intend to go this evening, you know, without hurting yourself, staying within yourself, and same with you, Robert. I'm not sure about Kathy either, frankly. I mean, you could all chime in and tell me kind of where you are in terms of the duration of this workout. What are you aiming for this evening?
Hi, Brian. Again, this is Norm. I read through your injury protocol that you have online. And I like that idea. I mean, I like all the hints that you gave us. But I wondered when you say don't train when you feel any kind of injury. What exactly do you mean by that? I mean, you know, I really feel like there's a lot of aches and pains in my body, but I still want to train.
Yeah, training is an attitude, Norm. It has to do with a certain level of exertion a lot of times. And the exertion is designed, it has a purpose to build a certain ability. So there are five abilities: stamina, power, tempo, speed, and endurance. And each one of those has a different structuring of exertion. And we play by the rules when we structure our workouts according to the purpose. Now, with an injury, it's a different situation entirely. There's no training involved because the injury determines the level of exertion. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So what the rule is that you keep, well, while you're out there walking, you can walk. I actually recommend walking even every day. John is injured. He can tell us next what his experience was today. But my point is that you're aiming to walk so that the pain is no more than a tender level. It's like a 2 out of 10 or 1 out of 5. And so at the tender level, you can get over the injury. Your body will get over the injury. But if you press or push and try to train, you end up hurting yourself more and it becomes chronic and then you really have problems. And so, you know, you have to think in those, in that context, training versus not training, and running under the a certain level of exertion instead of through it where there's pain. And so that's you know, that'll give you some idea of what we're talking about. So John, what was your experience today? I mean, you've got plantar fasciitis, and that's like a bone spur issue under his heel. And so we're trying to get rid of that. I mean, he knows what to do. And when I say we're talking about it. So how did it go today?
Today actually went really well. Basically, I think one of the things that I've learned is that there's no quick fix to get better physically. It's kind of a long road. And because there's no quick fix, I think one of the main things that I've always, one of the hardest things that I've always faced is just putting my shoes on and doing it. I could always think of at least 50 plus excuses of why I didn't want to work out. And it kind of all depended on whether I was willing to put my shoes on. But once I got my shoes on, that kind of made the commitment for me. And running, or I don't run anymore, but dealing with injuries, I noticed as I've gotten older, I'm 72 now, that injuries or aches and pains come way more frequently. And the recovery time has increased dramatically. And it's kind of a hard pill to swallow that, you know, I am aging. And so this pain that I've had in my heel, I think I had it probably about 30, 35 years ago in my same heel. And for this one I think came on because of overuse. Maybe I was doing a little bit too much walking and weight training. So I put a little more strain on my heel. And it was kind of a wake-up call, because this is probably the most nagging injury I've had in a while. I mean, other than, you know, a tender back, a shoulder, elbow, all those things that come with aging. But at this point in my life, I've kind of come to the conclusion that any kind of exercise is going to help me. It's not just being a runner or being a triathlete or being a swimmer. All of those is, if you're just willing to do something, that's the main thing. Because everybody's different. Everybody's at different ages. So as long as you're willing to do something, walking, swimming, I mean, anything. That's the most important thing, and being consistent in doing it. And to get consistent is where the discipline, I think, comes in. Because I can always talk myself out of it very easily. And if you can kind of get it to a point where it's almost like a habit, where you don't think about whether you want to do it or not. It's just something that is integrated into you. I think that's a good space to be in. And with this right heel spur, I have just backing off and being patient, just because the recovery time is a lot longer now. And just being patient and being realistic, I think, really helps. So my heel is, I'm happy with how my heel is going, as long as I take it easy. I like to play golf and work in the yard and stuff. And there's some days, if I do too much, or 2 or 3 days of too much, my heel really acts up. So for me, it's actually having to learn to take it easy, because in the long run, taking it easy is going to benefit me more than going hard. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
It's going to benefit you more because it's more sustainable, yeah?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And easier workouts. For me, it's easier to recover. Like the next day, I don't feel as bad. So it's just like, kind of like taking small baby steps. And then if your level of fitness increases, you're going to naturally feel more energetic. It's just not being too energetic to start and risking some kind of injury.
Very well said, John. Start to finish. You know, one idea or thought came to me that I can add a slight perspective on what you're saying, and that is that, you know, you do something, but I'm interested in all kinds of things that I do that I consider training, you know, that are, they're not necessarily what we would call training. Like, for instance, rocking back and forth in the shower, you know, a bent knee. So I'm rocking back and forth, and that's training. But reaching up to get something from a top shelf, that's training. And all the things that I do with my body during the day, I consider that as fitness training. And I work at it, you know, by just focusing on it, saying this. It's not drudgery kind of stuff. I wish I didn't have to do this. This is like an opportunity to become a little more fit. Makes my body feel good too. 6:50.
Yeah, you're right, Brian. What I found too is that as I'm getting older, I have to be a lot more deliberate and a lot more conscious about my movement. Whereas 20, 30 years ago, it was more, I just do something kind of impulsively without thinking. And now I've learned to think things through and just be a little bit more deliberate in my actions. And for me, it helps. Just taking a little bit more time to think about something instead of impulsively doing it. And that has seemed to have to work for me anyway.
I could pull your leg about living up there in Hawaii. That's all you got to think about, right? I mean, how you're doing, yeah. Your yard work. No, I'm serious. I mean, it does come with a certain amount of quiet, you know, that deliberateness, you think about things, how to make it better. For instance, I think about that a lot, and then create a new habit. The idea that going out is habitual, or it can be habitual eventually. I think that's kind of what I was saying earlier too. And, you know, that's where I'm looking for everyone in this group, you know, to be able to get out habitually.
Yeah. That's kind of how I look at things. Basically, after retiring, I just kind of wanted to slow down my pace and kind of enjoy life a little bit more instead of trying to rush through the day or rush through the week. And it's relaxed me quite a bit more mentally to kind of slow everything down a little bit more.
Yeah, that's very interesting, John. We're talking about Hawaii, which has to be one of the most remote places in the islands, that life has to be, you know, kind of more relaxed there. But I know you were a teacher, you were a coach while you were a teacher working for the DOE, you were involved in all kinds of stuff, and including raising two kids and their athletics. And being parts of teams like softball teams and, you know, the community there. I mean, you really did have a lot going on. And so, you know, getting rid of the job probably had a big effect in terms of, say, being able to take more time and relax and you know, more power to you.
Yeah, public education really kind of has been taking some hits over the past years. And there was a lot of pressure, or there is a lot of pressure put on public school teachers. And I think some of it is warranted, but not all of it. But it's always easy to blame the teacher when your child doesn't do well in school. I mean, that's the easy out. And so there's been a lot of pressure. And now with the pandemic, hopefully kind of opening things up, I think the teachers that are still working, there's going to be a phenomenal amount of pressure put on them to catch up. And it really wasn't, you know. Yeah, it really wasn't their fault, but they're going to unfortunately maybe have to stand a jerk for some of this. So,
yeah, you got out of
food for thought. Yeah, I know I did. Every time, occasionally I go down to the high school to, you know, say hi to the people in the office. And almost regularly, when I see a former teacher at the school, they always tell me how they wish they were retiring. Because for me anyway, teaching stopped being fun. There was a point when it was really fun to be a teacher, you know, working with youth and young adults, but because of the politics and the pressure and the teaching just stopped being fun. And once I started realizing that, I would ask myself, what am I doing here? This is, you know, it's just not fun anymore.
Yeah,
it was time to get out.
Yeah, I retired for the first time in 1978 from high school teaching. I have retired on a regular basis ever since, and my my rush every time is like yours, John. I mean, you know, when it stops being fun, you know, then I'm looking for another fun sort of activity, and I let go of the stuff that it wasn't fun. And
yeah,
it's okay. It's okay. Robert and Kathy, especially, I want to go to Kathy for a moment. All this male energy, Kathy, can you stand it?
Oh, no, it's okay. It makes walking so much faster.
Good.
It makes time go faster, did she say?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, she did.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, Brian, by the way, the hill thing you taught us last week, Saturday, worked really well.
Well, thank you very much.
The short steps and slowing down.
Short steps and slowing down. That's exactly what we did. And keeping it at a relaxed.
So the Kamehameha hikes were pretty easy today. So thank you.
You're a good student, Kathy.
Wow.
I got that immediately. I like good students.
Yeah.
And then we had Matt Cresser and Jerry Nolly, or Nail rather. Not my idea of the best students, but definitely a big time challenge. Let me see now. Robert.
Hey, Brian, can I ask you something?
Yeah, tell me.
This is Norm.
Yeah, I got you, Norm.
I just got a question on, I'm sorry. I just have a question on cooling down. I mean, say for instance, we're towards the end of our walk here. I might have missed it, obviously, so I'm doing a catch up here. So what do you recommend for winding down, cooling down?
Winding down and cooling down is a good way to start describe it. In the sense that, you know, as opposed to, let's say, speeding up at the end, you can speed up, you know, that's when you're probably most warmed up and able to speed up. But, you know, in the beginning, I think it's a better approach to, you know, minimize any kind of exertion that you haven't been using up to that point. So that means just kind of either tapering off a little bit on how fast you're going, or, you know, coming to a stop, you know, without having picked it up at all. Does that answer your question? Okay. Or are you thinking in terms of like a post-race stretching activity or what?
I have no clue. I mean, that's what I guess I'm used to or was thinking. Because I try to check my pulse. And that's about it. Yeah, I think you got it, Brian. Thank you.
Yeah. Here's what occurs to me, Norm, is that sympathetic and understanding as you were to what I was kind of teaching people with, you know, under your command. I think the military way of doing things is really different from the way I do things and the way I've learned.
Yeah.
And so there may be a bunch of things that you're going to have to unlearn. For instance, I was talking about your anxieties because, you know, and nothing we're going to do is going to be uncomfortable, say. And that, I think, is different from what I saw out there, you know, and was taking a stand against. But, you know, so what do you think about that now? What's your perspective on it from where you are, where you stand now?
Well, you know, when you had your training, and by the way, thank you very much. And I still get comments from our soldiers that I run into thanking me. Really, you should be thanking you for all the training that you did. And it made sense because, like I said before, no one has ever taught them, believe it or not, in the Army, how to run, and let alone just train. So what, like you said, it's a pressure cooker where you keep up or you die, literally. So my perspective has changed quite a bit, especially with Isaac's help and just going, looking for longevity and not just a short-term blast of, okay, I got to get this thing done, get my scores in, meet the standards, et cetera. So that's totally out the window. I don't do that anymore. I just do it for enjoyment and longevity. And that's what you and Isaac have taught me, knowing you all these years. So that's where I'm at. I think I'm in a happier place, but you know, once a soldier, always a soldier. So I never lose some of this mentality. So if I do regress, you can kick me in the behind.
Yeah,
my permission.
I have no qualms about coaching in terms of, you know, I listen for stuff that people say, and that's usually where, you know, I do a lot of coaching, but I also see things, and you're in a much better place as far as I'm concerned, Norm. I really hear you, and tell everyone a little bit about Isaac and what you do with him.
Okay. Well, Isaac is a personal trainer, and he has a wealth of knowledge on, and basically we're doing yoga, and there's different types of yoga, but the one that he's really allowing me to enjoy more is this thing called yin yoga. It's a little less strenuous but more productive. So it's stretching not beyond your limit, but at your limit. And every time you do it, you just every time you repeat it, you go a little bit farther, a little bit farther. So it's never painful. And for me, I'm 67. It's a good thing where I'm so used to it, no pain, no gain, just like in your protocol, Brian. You don't want to do that. You don't want to go too far, but you want to go just enough because you want your body to get used to that position. And then the next time you do it, you go a little bit further. And then by the end of the whole thing, you're stretching pretty well. So since I last physically saw you, Brian, I lost 15 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. People constantly commenting, you know, says, boy, you look different. You really lost weight. And I said, yeah, it's really not any huge thing. I didn't go on any kind of strange diet. I just started to, like John, just enjoy life more and just do it. Just get out there and do it. So thank you, Brian. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get the connection between my contribution and your losing 15 pounds, but that's okay.
No, you do. Because believe it or not, you're in my ear. Isaac is in my other ear. And, you know, constantly feeding me all this kind of stuff. Get off the couch, you know, exercise. Don't strain yourself. Just go out there and do something every day. So that's where I am, and I'm struggling to catch up with you guys and make it consistent. And like, you know me, I'm all in.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Congratulations on being all in. I'm going to tell you a little bit about one of the things that I'm into. I go to a meeting on Monday night, every Monday night. It starts at 7 o'clock and it's at the Church of the Crossroads. So I have to get on a motorcycle and go down there. I live in Kiev down to Church of the Crossroads is on University. So anyway, it's a Buddhist 12-step program and I'm very much into it, mostly for the Buddhist angle, but also for the dynamic of the people there are so interesting to me. They have interesting stories, and we have an opportunity every Monday evening to talk to one another for at least 2 minutes per person in the group. And depending on who's there and what they choose to talk about, it's fascinating stuff. And so that's what I do on Monday evening. And that's, in a way, it's what we'll do. I should say it's kind of governing the time frame in which I can participate. So I'd like to be out of here, let's say, by 6:45 in order to get down there and help set up and so on, which means I can easily do that in 10 minutes. But
I actually have to go. Do you mind? I'm so sorry.
Well,
I'm even faster than you.
Yeah, I'm just explaining.
So I will see you folks on Wednesday.
We'll be there.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
You're welcome.
Hey, bye-bye. You.
So you hear what I'm saying, I'm sure. And we're going to have some very interesting conversations, I think, in this group. I'm very much looking forward to working with all of you. We'll continue next time, sort of in the same vein of the approach we're using tonight. I'll tell you a little bit more about the training and, my philosophy, so to speak, and then we'll have a discussion about whatever.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good night, everybody.
Sounds good.
Good night.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, pal.
Good night.
Buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Robert.